Welcome to Busy Research, the podcast where business meets data and insights drive success. I'm your host, Vicki McCarthy, Director of the Center for Applied Business Research at Austin Peay State University. On this podcast, we get busy learning about how applied business research can improve business decision-making. Welcome back to another episode of the Busy Research Podcast, where we explore the latest trends and strategies shaping the business world. I'm your host, Vicki McCarthy, and today we have the pleasure of sitting down with Dawn Stone, affectionately known as the Conflict Chick, to discuss conflict resolution and employee retention. Dawn brings a wealth of experience and expertise to the table, and we're thrilled to have her share her insights with us. So let's dive in. Dawn, it's fantastic to have you on the show. To start off, could you tell our listeners a bit about your background and how you became known as the Conflict Chick?
Thank you so much, Vicki. I am elated to be here with you and your listeners today. And I became the Conflict Chick, and I like to tell people, conflict chose me, I didn't choose it. So I literally have worked in corporate America and in nonprofit and in the higher ed space for 3 decades. And during that time, what I found is that a lot of people have churn and anxiety and things associated with decision making, and it all boiled down to the way that they handle and manage conflict. And so in 2016, I rebranded my company from Conflict and Communication Associates to the Conflict Chick LLC. And it has made all the difference in the world. So when people meet me, they're like, okay, so you do what? Oh, conflict. Yes. So my goal is really to help people understand that conflict is neutral. It's neither positive or negative until you apply how you feel, what you think, and your actions. And a lot of times those are positive or negative. And that's what makes conflict so difficult for most people. So I just enjoy helping my clients and leaders really find confidence in embracing conflict resolution, build this competency of understanding the tools that are necessary personally and professionally to be peacemakers, and then last, to help them get some connections. Because a lot of times people feel like they're on an island, Vicki, like they don't have a way to get through a storm, but there are tools and people who can always help you connect the dots.
Wow, I love that because conflict resolution is a vital skill to have in any workplace. So in your experience, how does unresolved conflict contribute to employee retention issues? And what are some common challenges that organizations face in addressing this?
Oh, Vicki, talk about conflict. I'll start with a statistic that a lot of people don't realize. Most organizations have conflict, but only 35% of them have a formal way of addressing it in their agency. So whether you are an employee of an employee with 2 people or 200,000 people, conflict inevitably is going to reach your space because people are different. And conflict is really, really birthed in a couple of things. Past rivalries, meaning I didn't get my way about something years ago, or maybe even 2 days ago or 2 seconds ago. And then personalities. So if you think about it, in any assessment that you would have in an agency, some companies use strength finders, DISC assessments, Myers-Briggs. And so what they have found is that people in your employees are not the same folks. A lot of them don't think the same, don't have the same experiences. And so what companies are faced with is this really, really myriad of opportunities. And those opportunities are around the relationships that they hold and the productivity that's required to conduct business. And so do you know that in a organization that has, say, let's take manufacturing, for example, if 2 people are upset with each other or having some type of conflict, the productivity of everyone else on that team is impacted. And so the work that I do is I go in and help teams really understand the culture within their organization and the needs of their people. Because after all, if you think about things we do, I mean, let's go from my higher ed experience. You know, there are things that I need and want as an instructor or professor that may be different from where the institution is going and the goals that they have for us, right? And so that also is happening in every size organization, literally around the world. So I want to highlight quickly a couple of areas that have been sore spots for agencies. And this is where I spend a good deal of my time with my clients and with the work that I do in the community. So what we're finding is that conflict is everywhere, but let's talk about where they really come into play. So number one is employers have a hard time with employee engagement. And the employee engagement is lessened by the amount of work and the people who are doing the work. So companies want to get that productivity up. And so what we do is we talk about how can we implement conflict resolution strategies to improve communication and improve this culture and the spirit of the team. So then you're not losing money with people being idle or losing money because people are in conflict, because that equals absenteeism, turnover rates, total employee engagement, which is tied to morale, which ultimately impacts the bottom line. Two other ways, places that it shows up, talent acquisition and retention is another key area. So there are organizations that say, hey, I just can't keep people because people don't want to work. So Vicky, that's a common thing I hear. And I like to encourage the employers and say, hey, no, it's not that. You have to find the right employee for you. And how do we do that? So it's going to take allowing conflict resolution as a construct to be a part of the reason why people flock to your organization. So I help teach them systems and tools to use to have people come to them because they say, hey, if you're in conflict, let's take a quiet room, for example. We have a quiet room, a quiet space. So there are times when I may be working with their design team to create a space for employees to go and cool off. See, that's an innovative way of addressing conflict and ensuring that your people are healthy and whole. So leadership development, change management, performance management, and employee wellness and mental health. These are all things that are aligned when it comes to looking at the ways that we can truly, truly, truly master conflict resolution and keep our people inside the buildings. And so the funny way that I tell my clients, current, past, and future, is like, my goal is to keep your people in the building and on task and prevent them from sliding out the side doors and the back doors. And so when you think about it like that, they're like, wow, that really happens. It does. And we're now in a hybrid, remote, and an in-person environment. So that has changed in the way that we even show up for work. And so really addressing it at the core of what it is, communication, and a willingness to meet people where they are two key things that you can really honestly do to improve the metrics inside your organization. And that ultimately increases employee engagement, which is sitting between 35 and 38%. And believe it or not, that's considered good right now.
Wow. And that's a lot to unpack, is like you said, with this just conflict resolution, all of these issues that surround it, from engagement to productivity to mental health and talent acquisition. So many topics covered. I can see right here that we probably have five more podcasts to do to really unpack all of this, because there's a lot there. But it sounds like key to that is this proactive approach to maintaining a healthy work environment. And so what are some, you mentioned the architectural design and having places to go and policies and procedures. But so what are some effective strategies or approaches that organizations can implement to address conflict and improve their employee retention, engagement, and all of that that you've just highlighted for us?
I want to start with, since May is mental health and awareness month, And we'll sit again at the end of the year. But right now we're in high season. And what employers must do is first acknowledge where they are as a company. They have to acknowledge the culture that they have and the culture they want to become. And so I ask them to keep that in perspective, because there's always growth within us, and everything that we need to be better is within each and every one of us. So the key is unlocking it. So when we talk about mental health and wellness of our teams, proactively looking at the root causes of the workforce tension and the anxiety to begin with. It might be, let's take AI, artificial intelligence right now. That has received a lot of buzz, and a lot of the buzz has not been positive. But what we do know is artificial intelligence and systems and technology in general is a part of what we call the change management movement that involves technology. Okay. So when we're looking at the mental health and the wellness of our people, if we're able to see and say 12% of our organization is struggling with the technology, what can we do about that? How can we make them either upskill them so they can use the products and services that we have, or maybe a part of, hey, let's do some job allocation or switch some things out. And the only way that employers really know what the heartbeat is or the pulse of the agency is to have these conversations. So my first recommendation is to do an organizational assessment. Then we move into a team assessment, which includes regular personality and strength finders assessment. So I do that. Gallup is Clifton. Dr. Clifton was the one who created it, but Gallup, the machine, I call it the marketing research machine, has ownership and rights, and they've got some great tools. Because what strength finders does, it allows you to know what your team really can do and do well. So we will call those superpowers. So the key is for organizations to unlock the superpower in each and every individual by having these one-on-one conversations. Now, if you're at a high level in your organization, say you're a CEO, you have direct people leaders, having that conversation with your people leaders and asking your people leaders to go down deep and know and serve the people who work for you, that's the way to get the glue connected and all the gears grinding and moving in the same direction. So it's taking the time to get to know. That's number one. Number two is to have systems and things in place so people can be intentional around their engagement. Make them aware. So that means you as a leader have to be hyper aware of who and where you are. So when I do trainings with clients, no matter where they are around the world, I say, what does your workday look like? What does your rest look like? And what happens is, more times than not, the organization reflects the habits that you have. And so we start with your own habits. So if you're one who never takes a break, you never go on vacation, you're excited and brag about the rollover you have of vacation from year over year over year, that's a problem. Because if we look at the four generations and the uniqueness of each generation, we're all needed. We're all interconnected. So I ask employers to take the time to develop those employee resource programs and those partnerships that matter. So if I have a Gen Z who is new to the organization, fresh out of a tier one or tier two college, or maybe a community college, what is the onboarding process for them? What are the resources allocated for them? So I really have the organization peel back the onion and look at all the habits and the attitudes of the people, especially at the top. And then we decide together with input from what I call frontline and those new and exciting people who are there in the organization, some of those who maybe not like you very much, have that conversation with them. And they do that in the form of surveys and interviews. And then we also could have what's called skip level meetings or town halls. That's a way to get an idea of what the people want and what they need. And so the survey is for those who aren't willing to say it out loud in front of everyone. But the town hall is for those vocal people. And so that will help the mental health piece. That will help with the compliance and regulatory issues. Because sometimes people are not compliant because they're upset about something. But if your people leaders know that person, they'll say, hey, Jake has an issue with X, Y, and Z. Is there any way we can change his policy so he could have flex time on Fridays to go and take his kid to speech therapy? Which is a reality for me. I have a neurodivergent child that requires 15 hours of therapy every week. So think about what employers are thinking in that moment. And we have to be really aware of those things. And so with change management and all the things that we talked about, all of this is change management. It could be systems. It could be people. It could be moving from remote back to in the office. This all creates churn in our agencies. And so companies right now, what you can do is listen. And the way to listen is to do those assessments, do those skip level meetings, do the one-on-one interviews, and do those surveys, because that type of organizational assessment will help you have more agility long term, because you will know where your pain points are and who the advocates and the champions can be in helping you implement what's next.
So just to recap, you're saying acknowledge where you're at as an organization and where you want to go. And then also have systems in place so that you can deal with the resolution. Mm-hmm. And key to that is letting employees have a voice so that you know what the issues are, whether it's through the town halls or the meetings or surveys. So I think that those are excellent strategies for creating a more positive workplace. You mentioned technology in terms of it's causing angst in employees, you know, needing to upskill or be comfortable with it. But what do you see the role of technology in terms of how it can help with conflict resolution and employee retention?
Oh, that's a very good question, Vicki. So let's talk about the whole angst and why it even exists. What we know about human nature is most corporate institutions, small businesses, they struggle with change management, especially when it comes to systems, because of our natural human resistance to change. And so employees often fear what they don't know, and they worry about how the change is going to impact their role, how they can lead, or will there be opposition? Are we going to be two in a box, et cetera, et cetera? So the key is to understand that without effective communication from leadership, if we don't have the training to adapt to the new processes, that conflict is inevitable. It will happen. So let's speak specifically to technology and how technology can actually help you. I have a client right now. They are global. They're a multi-million dollar organization, nonprofit. And guess what they struggle with? People and interactions with people, because they don't know who does what, who's supposed to do this, were you supposed to do this? Well, I'm doing this. So there's this there's this challenge with boundaries and boundary setting. And so what we have asked them to do is go and look at what does the job require? What does the position, the requisition itself states that this particular person in this role is supposed to do? And then we go and look at the systems and say, hey, these are the systems in place to support that work. So how can we leverage it in a way that is beneficial to the entire team? So I will tell you, this week alone, I made two recommendations that were system recommendations, Vicki. One was AI. And I said, get a bot, get an auto bot that will take notes, because they were having issues with who's going to keep notes. Well, I'm busy this week. Well, I don't have time. I'm going to be in the car. I'm on the move. They're global. I said, the best way to do it is to get an AI app that is free to take those notes for you. They show up early. They record the video. They have the transcript and will send it to everybody. And they were like, oh gosh, that would save us so much time. Thanks, Dawn. Another thing, they had a opportunity to do a lot of travel. And a certain, I don't want to give anybody too much publicity here, but there's a certain shared ride service that decided to freeze all of their credit cards because they're moving. And we have literally hundreds of people moving around the country at different retreats and in different meetings. And because the technology on the phone says I should be able to order a car for you and a car for you, and that's in three different places, they shut it down because they felt it was what? Fraud. And so my suggestion was, hey, this is technology. Get a business account that gets you points. They have it regulated and tracked on your phone. And it also releases you from the need for them to shut down or for you to call five or six different people to try to get these rides taken care of or food delivered. Because a lot of times it was going on at the same time, but people were in different parts of the country. And so using technology more proactively has been beneficial. They also have a clothing closet. And I said, you know what? You don't know how what the counts are. Let's set up an inventory management system that affords you to know at checkout how many things are being removed, who they're going to, and that way your inventory is always accurate. So those were three simple process changes. With me being their culture coach, I was able to implement, and now they're not stressed out, talking over each other on the calls, being short with one another. So it immediately impacted the way that they work, and it reduced their grievances that are filed down. We've only had two this year. And when I tell you I had pages last year, only two. So that's impact. And that's how technology can support the work as opposed to be something that is overbearing or too much.
Those are great examples of leveraging technology to reduce stress. And as you point out, that stress can lead to more and more conflict. So I love those examples. But before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts or advice for our listeners, particularly business leaders and human resource professionals that are looking to improve employee retention through effective conflict management and resolution?
Yes, I definitely want to tell all my peers out there, you are not alone. You are not on an island. Each and every person in life has some form of conflict during their day. I always say that, did you know what you were going to wear this morning when you showed up at work? Were you on time or did traffic delay you? Did your kid with fur decide to tear up your favorite slippers? All of these are forms of conflict that impact us in the workplace. And so my recommendation and suggestion is to take your time, breathe, create spaces for yourself and others to release what is not working for them when it comes to conflict, and create open and courageous spaces that provide psychological safety to others. And the only way we can do that is to be part of the build. It is our responsibility, because conflict amongst employees can significantly disrupt productivity and divert attention from work to interpersonal issues in a nanosecond. And so take action early. Resist the temptation to sweep it under the rug. Resist the temptation of picking and choosing sides. And if you're not sure how to do this well, don't be afraid to activate your resources, because your resources are people like me, consultants in the space that do this work every day. It could be a coworker, it could be a manager, a peer. And if you see a team that's high functioning, high performing all the time, go and spend time with them and ask them all, what's working for you? Why is this great? Because what you will find in big organizations, you have small sales of people that are extremely tight. And what you want to do is take that, hone it, and replicate it for everyone else. And that would be my advice. And just understand, we're all human. And when we make mistakes, we apologize, we learn, and we fall forward.
Wow, wise words, Dawn. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your invaluable insights into conflict resolution and employee retention. If our listeners want to learn more about you, how can they connect?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate my time. I thank you all for being here and being who you are and making the impact that you make in your everyday life. But if you want to connect with me or even have more questions, you can reach me on any of my social media handles. I'm on LinkedIn as Dawn Stone or The Conflict Chick. And I'm also on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram as The Conflict Chick. I would love to hear from you. You can drop questions. You can share this with other people and share the information. Because the goal is, if we all can do one kind thing for ourselves and someone else and resolve conflict quickly, we can normalize humanity in a way that builds peace for each and every one of us. And that's what we all deserve. It is our birthright to be peaceful.
Wow, love that, Dawn. And I was so happy that you were able to join us. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Busy Research. Check out the show notes for connecting with Dawn, and be sure to subscribe for more thought-provoking discussions on the latest trends in business. And until next time, stay busy.